I guess considering Thanksgiving is usually about more gravy, more turkey, more pie. We're people that always need more, don't we? But those are not the things we need more of, are they? No. Anybody need more faith? More faith? More faith. I guess because that song wasn't chosen by me to be part of the sermon, but God chose it to be part of the sermon. So there we have it. Because the title of the sermon is, you need a faith lift? Yes. That's a particularly important phraseology, because sometimes our faith wavers, does it not? Every once in a while, maybe our faith and our trust gets a little shaky from time to time. Yes? Right. So we need more faith, don't we? More. We pray for more. And we also pray for more of God, less of me. How about that prayer as well? Because when you have more of God in you, you have more power, more love, and more faith, don't you? Of course. We're going to go to the book of Matthew this morning, and it's really, I always like to take the scriptures and look at a day in the life of Jesus. Because obviously he was the Son of God. He was around other people who are just like you and me, people that had needs, people that had different situations going on in their life that they need healing of, and they needed a lot more faith all the time. And so very often they struggled with that. So I find it apropos that when we look at how Jesus operates and how we see the disciples within that relationship, I think you can find yourself somewhere in the story. And hopefully, based on what we see here today, you will get a faith lift in the process. How easy is this going to be? Good? All right. Matthew chapter 8, first verse. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached Jesus. He knelt before Jesus, worshiping. "Lord," the man said, "if you want to, you can make me well again." Jesus touched him. "I want to," he said. "Be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, "Go over to the priest and let him examine you. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so that everyone will have proof of your healing." When Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and racked with pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Then the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know, because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say, do this or that, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd, he said, "I tell you the truth. I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you that many Gentiles will come from all over the world and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast of the kingdom of heaven." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go on home. What you have believed has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. When Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. All the spirits fled when he announced them to leave. And he had healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through Isaiah that said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." Then Jesus got into a boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a terrible storm came up. with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. He kind of had slightly a busy day, right? Healed a few people. And that night, too. So he's sound asleep. The disciples went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" And Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. "Who is this?" they asked. "Even the wind and wave obey him." So I wanted to read the whole, give you the whole context of what's going on here. What we see is that the fact that Jesus can heal. We understand that? We believe that? We know that. The disciples saw that with their very eyes, right? Even one of the disciples who happened to be in that boat, Peter, his mother-in-law had a fever that very day. And when Jesus touched her, the fever left. So they saw miracles. Has anybody here ever seen a miracle from God? Has anybody been healed by God? And we know of other people that have as well. So I have a question. What happened in the boat? These very disciples saw a man healed of leprosy. He saw a servant that was dying healed from a distance away. Saw a woman who had a fever be healed. Saw people that had all kinds of issues, you know, struggles, demon-possessed, if you will, all kinds of issues inside of them. They were healed. And when Jesus commanded those spirits to leave, they left. And he healed sicknesses and diseases right in front of their eyes. And then they got in a boat. And we do know that some of these guys were fishermen who had been in a boat before, who probably had been on the very Sea of Galilee many, many times. And yet they get in this boat and they suddenly have amnesia around what happens in a boat when wind and waves come upon them. And the fact that most likely, considering the fact that this Jesus that they saw do all of these miracles in this very same day was in the boat with them. But the wind and the waves suddenly caused them to be frightened, to be terrified, and say to Jesus, "Wake up, we're going to drown." I think when they dropped anchor, their faith went overboard with it. Now, we can laugh at the disciples, and I know we like to do that, because these guys, really? They're walking around with the Son of God, watching miracles be performed right in front of their eyes. And they get in a boat, and it gets a little topsy-turvy, and a little bit of wind, and a little bit of waves, and suddenly, because he's asleep, the poor guy can't get a break. They panic. And the faith that the Roman soldier had was greater than the faith of these disciples who were going to be his followers and teachers later. What was Jesus thinking? But you see, I think that shows us our humanity, right? What I love about the disciples, before we laugh at them, I don't know about you, but there's now this whole toilet paper scare again. And, you know, I happened to be at Sam's the other day, and everybody was running towards the back of the store, and so I was, like, running with them. Like, what are they giving away? What's happening? And there was this feeding frenzy. And people were grabbing, and there was a guy standing there trying to hand them out, and they were, like, mobbing this guy. And I looked and I said, "Yeah, I wonder if we need toilet paper. Oh, God, I got some in the garage. I got some in the closet. There's some at church. I got friends who will probably share some with me." And for like a split second, I was going to turn my cart around and try to get in front of this other guy over here who was getting his. See, there's strength in numbers, isn't there? There's also doubt in numbers, isn't there, if we're not careful? You know, the thing about the whole boat story, I think, is, you know, one of the guys probably flipped out who wasn't a boat person. I mean, they all weren't fishermen. I mean, Matthew was a tax collector. He was a landlubber for sure, right? He was in a tower all the time on land. So maybe he started getting a little afraid when the wind and waves creaked up, right? So he starts to flip out. We're going to drown. And the next thing you know, Peter's right in there with him, the fishermen, and James and John. See, sometimes we can gain faith from other people, or we can lose faith if we're not careful, right? Because that's our human condition, isn't it? Aren't we sometimes affected by what other people say and do and believe, and doubt and fear? And don't we sometimes, do we not succumb to that sometimes as humans? Do we sometimes forget that Jesus is in the boat with us? Do you sometimes forget that Jesus Christ is not only in a boat physically with you, but he's inside of you, within your heart, mind, and soul? Are those just songs we sing about to say, oh, Lord, you know, fill me up with your spirit, and I believe in you so strongly until I think I need toilet paper because everybody else is buying it? Faith is so precious. And I believe sometimes there's a certain amount of flow that we have with it. Sometimes it's just like anything, right? When we're in the moment of true faith and we get our mind right, we've come to church and we hear a great message like this, and then you start to believe and have faith, right? And you say, okay, I'm going to be different. I'm going to really put my faith and trust in God, and no matter what comes my way, I'm going to still trust him no matter what. Because he can still the wind and the waves. He can calm my nerves. He can do anything for me. He can heal people. And even if they're not healed physically here on this planet, they're healed in eternity. And I'm going to have my faith and trust in him that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to believe and have faith. It's like a full cup of coffee in the morning, right? It's filled to the brim. And then you get down to that last drop and you're like, oh no, I'm out of coffee. Does our faith go up and down from time to time? Because sometimes we're using it up, right? Well, lately, we're using an awful lot of faith to have trust in God, are we not? And sometimes we put our faith in other people, which is fine sometimes, provided that they have more than enough faith to share with us. And they're telling us things to hold on, to hang in there. Just imagine in that boat, right? When Matthew got afraid, that's why things started this whole thing. I should have stayed as a tax collector. I wouldn't be drowning right now. I can just hear him. You know how much money I was making off those guys? And I'm going to drown following this guy? But just imagine if Peter, James, or John, who understood the water, or maybe because Peter's mother-in-law was the one who was healed, maybe Peter turns and says, wait a minute, remember when he healed my mother-in-law today? Remember when we saw the guy that had leprosy and it went away when he touched him? Remember when the Roman soldier came up to him and said, if you say go, everything goes, and you say yes, everything changes? What if somebody in that boat would have calmed Matthew down and said, hold on, Jesus is asleep, let the guy rest. Man, he performed all these kind of miracles all day long today. And he's going to take care of us too. We're going to make it through this. See, it only takes one person, I believe, of faith to remind each and every one of us that, one, we're not going to run out of toilet paper. We don't need to panic. We're not going to run out of healing. We're not going to run out of love. We're not going to run out of mercy. We're not going to run out of grace. We're not going to run out of God's power ever. And life gets a little rocky, right? Now, if you're not a boater, that's perfectly fine to be afraid in a boat. But it's up to the people who have been in that boat before. How many of you have been in a boat of your life? Like, you know, we're kind of, things got a little rough. I'm looking out at some people here I know that have gone through a lot that show me that they've survived that through God's help, through God's touch, through God's healing, through our prayers. God has helped them through. And if God can help them through, he can help us through as well. And so for those of you that maybe have already been healed and got, you've been through a few things, and some of us, even though we're older, we've been through more than others, but some young people go through things too. But what if you're the one that happens to be around other people who are losing their sense of faith? It's up for you to help lift them up. Give them a piece of your faith. Say to them, everything is going to be okay, because you know what? I was over here one day and I didn't think I was going to make it. The doctors told me that I would never see another day, week, month, a year. And guess what? I'm standing in front of you telling you, here I am still. That's what we have in a church body, in a church family. Many, many, many people within this very church have been on the brink of being right there at the veil right before going into heaven, which would have been okay if that was their time. But they're still on this side because God's healed them. We've seen what God can do. So when another problem comes our way in that very same day, I just find this amazing. That very night they get in a boat after they'd seen all that, and suddenly they can't remember to have faith. Because why? It's happening to them. And I understand that about people. When we go through things individually, sometimes we think, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. But here's the beauty of a church. You've got a bunch of boaters amongst you who've been in that rocky situation before and who made it through. And we don't always wake up Jesus screaming at him that we're going to drown, but we do go to him in prayer. And we come to you and say to you, anyone, have faith, have trust. And God will calm the waves. He'll calm the storm, and he'll calm you and me all the time. Today, more than ever, all of us need a faith lift, because sometimes it gets a little on the low side. That's where you and I come in. We're here together to say everything is going to be okay. God is going to work all of this out. God is still in control. I had an interesting walk yesterday with my dog. I saw my neighbor, and she's gone through some very physical problems as of late, and she could barely walk. And we were standing, talking, and my dog saw another dog and tried to run off, and the leash broke, and there she ran. And so we both looked at her running up the street, and she says, I'll go after her. And I'm thinking to myself, you can barely walk. And I'm like, oh, she knows her way home. God will take care of her. She's like, if I were you, I would go like after her. And I said, well, I'm standing here talking to you, and you can't run. I want to talk to you about what's going on with your legs. Let's do that. And she said, will you have faith that your dog is going to be okay? I'm like, well, I don't know if I do, but maybe I do. I think I do. I better go get her. So there's that practical thing about, do you do? And then as I was going, there's my little angel, Gracie, standing at the front door of the house. She didn't know the way home. I guess the point about that is this. Even in that little brief moment, initially I had faith, didn't I? I'm like, she'll get home. She'll be fine. She's not going to go very far. But in the when the question came, are you sure about that? I'll go get her instead. And she can't even run. And I'm thinking, she's more worried about my dog than I am. Now I better be worried. So I'm not saying anything about her. What I am saying is God has a way of protecting us in ways that we don't even know of all the time. And our faith can falter in one, from 1 second to the next. However, the more you are in the Spirit of God and the more you have others around you that help fortify your faith, like if that woman had said, oh yeah, she's going to be fine, I probably would have had a different feeling about running home. So I guess that's what I'm trying to say to all of you. All of us have things in our head that we at one moment have faith, and then the next moment it's like, should I or shouldn't I? That doubt is the place where we need to get a grip from somebody else or have somebody else fortify for us when our faith is a little bit shaky, that we rely on someone else's faith instead of their doubt. I want you to doubt your doubts and have faith in your faith. So when doubt comes, you say, well, I doubt it. And then you go on and say, well, I believe that God can get me through this. And so each of us together, I'm asking for commitment that when we're in this boat together, which we are right now, correct? Anybody here really afraid of drowning? If you are, get out of the boat, please. No. If you knew that Jesus was in the boat with you, the great captain of the sea, the man who could stop the wind and the waves, if you knew he was in your boat with you, would you have a little more faith? Good. So I gave you a faith lift, just like that. If you need to be reminded, tell yourself every day, the Lord is with me. He's in my boat. He's going to stop the wind and the waves. He's a great healer. He's a great physician. He's the Lord of all things. And I can be at peace and be calm. And if my boat gets a little bit rocky, I'm going to wake him up and say, Lord, please help me. But if somebody's inside of that boat and they're afraid, I'm going to say to them, Jesus can calm the waves and calm the winds. I've seen it before. We'll see it again. Let's all have faith. Let's hold on to faith. After all, that's all we've got, right? And I think what we need more of today, more than ever before, is faith, trust, belief in God, that God can do what he always has done, perform miracles in all of our lives. Amen. Amen.